Jeremy Stones and Pasha's Yisroi.
Rabosei, talk about the Haftarah of Parshas Mishpatim. Start off a little few comments about the calendar, follow that with a bit of history, and then go through the Haftarah itself. As we know, we are still in the month of Shabbat, which is an interesting month because it's one of the 2 months of the year which every date can be on 5 days of the week. Most of the months of the year, from Nisan down to Cheshvan, you can only find that every date in the month can be on 4 days of the week. Kislev, it can be on 6 days of the week. And Teves and Shavuot can be on 5 days of the week. And by the time we get to Adar, Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni, there are 4 days of the week back to the normal. As we know, we start off with Rosh Chodesh Shabbat. The day after Rosh Chodesh Shabbat is 2 Bishvat. The next day is 3 Bishvat, etc. Then we continue. A couple of weeks, we get into the 15th of Shabbat, Chamish Osa Bishvat, which according to Beis Hillel is Rosh Hashanah Leilonos.
So a Beis Shammah got it wrong one day.
They didn't say got it wrong, they say Rosh Chodesh. And there's only one day Rosh Chodesh, there's no problem. Right? So, point about it is that 2 Bishvat has got, well, there are officially 6 days that 2 Bishvat can be on, apart from being the 15th of Shabbat. It can be, the earliest 2 Bishvat can be is Thursday of Bishalach, and the latest 2 Bishvat can be is Thursday of Yisro. From Thursday of Bishalach to Thursday of Yisro, inclusive, is 8 days. It can be every single day between the two, with the exception of Friday and Sunday. 2 Bishvat cannot be on a Friday and it can't be on a Sunday, but it can be the other 5 days. And since Thursday of Bishalach and Thursday of Yisro. Right? It can't be earlier than Thursday of Bishalach and it can't be later than Thursday of Yisro. Interestingly, the Tuesday and the Wednesday of Yisro depends on what type of year it is. It can only be on the Wednesday if it's a normal year, not a leap year. It can only be on the Tuesday if it's a leap year, not a normal year. For the other days, doesn't make a difference, it could be in both. Right, let's get to the end of the month. We're around the end of the month. Mishpatim Haftorah is one of the Haftoros that are done a minority of the years, not a majority. As we know, there are certain sidras that can be done and are done every single year without any exception. I will start with Lech Lecha. Right, there is absolutely nothing nowadays that can come on the week, the Shabbos of Lech Lecha, that's going to take away the Haftorah. Bereshis can be Mocha Chodesh, and Noach can be Rosh Chodesh, etc. Once upon a time, there used to be a minhag that whenever you had a chosan in shul, they did Sos Osis. That's the Haftorah of Nitzavim, and could be done any Shabbos in the year, except when you can't get married. But nowadays, it doesn't seem to be the minhag around nowadays, so we don't have such a problem. Now, Mishpatim is one of the few that rarely get done, because in an ordinary year, That's a year which is not a leap year. Mishpatim is either Shabbos Shkolim, with one exception. In an ordinary year, Mishpatim is Shabbos Shkolim. So therefore Shabbos Shkolim takes away. Whether it's Shabbos Shkolim on Rosh Chodesh, it could be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Adar in an ordinary year, in which case also Shkolim. But only one possibility, it can be the Shabbos a week before Rosh Chodesh, a whole week. Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos and it's Truma, and that's Shkolim, and Mishpatim is a week earlier than that, which is the only time in an ordinary year where you can have the Haftorah of Mishpatim being done. But that happens once in 30 years on average. So to have Mishpatim being done in a normal year is exceptionally rare. On the other hand, in a leap year, which we're in at the moment, Shkolim is not for another month. Shkolim will be around Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So consequently, we've got ages to go, and Mishpatim would have a normal Haftorah, its own Haftorah, every single leap year, with the exception of the fact there are seven types of leap year. Two of them, it's Mocha Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon is on Sunday, and therefore you can't do it. And one of them, Rosh Chodesh is on Shabbos, it's actually on Shabbos itself. Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon is on Shabbos, in which case that's Mishpatim. You do Rosh Chodesh, normal one, you don't do the Haftorah. So we've got four leap years out of the seven, and you've got one ordinary year out of the seven that we actually do the Haftorah of Mishpatim. Lovely. Pardon? Yes. Yes. Yes, because we kept. It's only a year Zayin Ches. Either Zayin Ches Aleph or Zayin Ches Gimel, which means that Rosh Hashanah was on a Shabbos and that Kislev has 29 days. That's the time we do Miketz. Because it's the day after. Hanukkah's Friday to Friday, and the day after is Miketz. Are you alright? It's been more than once in your life. You're older than 20. Leonora, I assure you it's more than once. Right, let us continue. So, the Haftorah connects up to the mitzvah of Eved Ivri. So in Eved Ivri, in the Torah tells us that when an Eved Ivri, a person becomes a slave, so he's sold for theft, he's sold for 6 years. And 6 years means 6 years. Only 6 years, and at the end of 6 years he goes out free. The Torah gives him mitzvah ha'anokah, which means the master's got to give him extra money to set him up again, because let's face it, we don't want him going back into crime. So the least you could do is give him a chance to earn an honest living, and that way you won't have the same problem again. So that's the mitzvah of Eved Ivri in the Torah. However, a person can sell himself. And if he sells himself, there's no specific din of 6 years, however long he wants to sell himself for. And you know, and a person can keep selling himself as many times as he can find somebody who will pay him to be his eved. So there's not a problem there. Omo Ivriya, a girl who is sold, first of all, it's not a lady, it's a girl. And it's not for theft whatsoever. A girl can never be sold for the fact that she has stolen. Not at all. So it's only a man can be sold for being a thief. So the girl is sold because her father is so poor, and Chazal tell us he's so poor that he's had to sell the shirt off his back first before he's allowed to sell his little daughter. And he can sell his daughter when she's under the age of 12, not 12 and above, and she only is a slave either till the age, either for 6 years. In other words, if you sold at 5, she's sold for 6 years till she's 11. Or if her 12th birthday comes along, she comes out when she's 12, she becomes a Nara, she'll go out on that. And equally, her father is meant to be poda her if he can in any way buy her back. Then she'll be bought back and she won't be a slave anymore. And that's the din of Omo Ivriya. But we find that in the time here we're going to be talking about, in the time of the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a problem. People were so poor, men and women were selling themselves because they just simply didn't have the money. It was such a terrible time for everybody that anybody who had any money would be encouraged, please take me under your wing, give me a home, I'll work my guts out for you. And it was a terrible situation, a terrible famine and siege, and people sold themselves right, left and centre, and the masters were keeping them. It seems to be I don't know whether there was a heter at all, but people were happy to be enslaved because there was no alternative. But nevertheless, the din is 6 years, we're going to see, and they should let them go. They want to sell themselves back afterwards, but they didn't. Anyway, so what happened? Let's just give you a bit of history around the time. The last Frum king of Klal Yisrael, of Malchus Yehuda, this is the time after the 10 tribes had already been exiled, and that by Sancheiriv over 100 years earlier. What happens is that Yoshiyahu became a tzaddik, and Yoshiyahu only lived till the age of 39. Yoshiyahu HaMelech brought Klal Yisrael back to keeping Torah and mitzvahs, but after he challenged, what happened was that Egypt wanted to make a war, not against us, wanted to walk through Eretz Yisrael and just with his army leave us alone, and Yoshiyahu felt the cherev lo sarva ba'artzachem. It says in the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you a brocha, the sword will not go through your land, and therefore he felt he's got to go and fight against the Egyptian army because they are walking through Eretz Yisrael. And he went to fight. He was told not to. Yirmiyahu HaNavi told him not to. It made no difference. He took his army and he got killed in the battle himself, as we know by Ikonin Yirmiyahu is Yoshiyahu. Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself made a kinah for Yoshiyahu. So after the battle had ended, and Paro, known as Paro Necho, Paro the lame, because later he tried to take, the Midrash says, he tried to take the throne of Shlomo HaMelech with all the various animals, metal animals at the side. And what happened was one of the metal animals, for whatever reason, kicked him in the leg and he became lame for life. So he was known in Tanakh as Paro Necho, Paro the lame. So Paro Necho, having killed Yoshiyahu, took his son and put him on the throne. His son was Yehoahaz. Now, there were four kings now until the Beis HaMidrash was destroyed. Easy way to remember: 3 months, 11 years, Nochamol. 3 months, 11 years. Right? So, first king was Yehoahaz, 3 months. The next one was Yehoyakim, 11 years. Then Yehoyachin, 3 months, and then Tzidkiyahu, another 11 years. So just remember, easy to remember the numbers. 3 months, 11 years, twice over. So of those people I just mentioned, we've got number one, number two, and number four were three sons of the late Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Number three was the grandson. Was the son of number two and the grandson of Yoshiyahu. Very quickly, what happened to all four of them? Yehoahaz was put on the throne by Paro Necho. He said, I'll make you the king. Israel is now a vassal state. I'm making you the king, which means I'm going to make the rules. You can rule your country under me, which means you arrange the taxes, you pay me as much money as I want, and I'll let you be the king with pleasure. Right? But don't disobey me, whatever you do, because, you know, you want to stay living, you just don't disobey. It's easy. Unfortunately, after 3 months, Yehoahaz decided that he ought to avenge his father's death. And he set out to try and conquer Egypt, or try and conquer Paro Necho, and he got killed in the process. So that was the first one gone. That was Yehoahaz. By the way, all four of these were Vayas Horab Beinei Hashem. All four of them were bad people. Right? All four of them. The Posuk says, the Gemara talks about Tzidkiyahu. I'm saying from the Lashon of the Posuk, all four of them were bad. So we've got Yehoahaz is after 3 months. We got rid of him, Paro Necho, then put his brother on the throne, Eliakim, and he changed his name to Yehoyakim. So Yehoyakim was the king now for 11 years. During those 11 years, Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Bavel. This is the first time we hear about Bavel coming into Eretz Yisrael. Yehoyakim was the king of Eretz Yisrael at the time that Nebuchadnezzar was in Bavel, and Nebuchadnezzar started trying to conquer around. It seems to be a common minhag among kings and emperors that they're not happy in their own country and they've got to go and conquer somebody else for a bit of fun. This has been going on for thousands of years, and when Moshiach comes, the world will actually know what Shalom is all about. So, what's happened? It hasn't changed, literally. So what happened then was Nebuchadnezzar came into Eretz Yisrael, and he made, Egypt decided that we don't want to fight against Babylon because Baba was far too strong for them. So Egypt then got out of the way. They went back to Egypt and stayed there. And it was quite some time before Nebuchadnezzar himself actually took the trouble to go and conquer Egypt. That was after the base of Midrash was destroyed. But meanwhile, what happened was that Nebuchadnezzar is in control of Eretz Yisrael with Jehoiakim working underneath him. That lasted for about 3 years. Then Jehoiakim decided to rebel. I'm not going to have him telling me what to do. So Jehoiakim then started to make trouble against Babylon, to which Nebuchadnezzar came in. And Jehoiakim, I think Jehoiakim died. And Nebuchadnezzar, whether he was killed or he died, I can't remember. But then Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, you're dead, we'll put now your son on the throne, Jehoiachin, otherwise known as Jechoniah. And he put him on the throne. He was 18 years old at the time. And as long as, I say it again, as long as you behave yourself, you can be the king there. It didn't work. 3 months later, Nebuchadnezzar walked in and took Jechoniah and took most of the Chachomim, Tamid Chachomim, and took lots of people off into Bavel. The first Golus started then. That was 11 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. 11 years earlier was Nebuchadnezzar, took Yechoniah. We know the Mishnah in Shkolim tells us, Shar Yechoniah, there was a gate in the Beis HaMikdash, Shar Yechoniah, from Mikan Yotz Yechoniah Begoluso. Before Yechoniah went into Golus, he went to a visit to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the gate he went out of, and he never came back. Jechoniah spent the rest of his life in Bavel. He was in prison in Bavel for 37 years. And only when Nebuchadnezzar died did Nebuchadnezzar's son, Evil-Merodach, take Jechoniah out of prison and gave him an allowance, and he stayed in Bavel the rest of his life. It was during the 70 years of Golus, and nobody went back at that time to Eretz Yisrael. It was not allowed. So he stayed there, and he died in Bavel. Meanwhile, go back. So once Jechoniah had gone off to Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar took the third son of Yoshiyahu. The third one was Mataniah, and he renamed him Tidkiyahu, and he put him on the throne and told him the same rules: you can be the king as long as you realize I'm in charge. That's what happened, Tidkiyahu. It lasted a small amount of time, and then it didn't work anymore because Tidkiyahu did not want Nebuchadnezzar to be in charge of him, so he made a rebellion against him, wouldn't pay tax. And what happened? Nebuchadnezzar came in, and then, there was the siege. We're now in, I said there were 11 years of Tzidkiyahu. In the ninth year, on Asara B'Teves, remember, a year starts from the 1st of Nisan and ends on the 29th of Adar. That's how the year is measured. So on Asara B'Teves, in the ninth year, Nebuchadnezzar came and surrounded Yerushalayim. Right, that was the siege, Asara B'Teves. The siege lasted the rest of the ninth year. 3 months of the ninth year, then a whole of the tenth year, and now we're into the 11th year. The 11th year from Rosh Chodesh Nisan down to the 9th of Tammuz, when they breached the walls of Yerushalayim. It was the 9th. Second base of Midrash was the 17th. It was called Tzom HaRevi'i. The fast was the fast of the fourth month. The Pasuk in Zechariah tells us about the four fasts. Tzom HaRevi'i, that's the Tammuz one, which in those days was not the 17th, but the 9th. Then there was Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the 5th month is Tisha B'Av. Tzom HaShavi'i, the 7th month is Tzom Gedaliah. And finally, Tzom HaAsiri, the 10th month is Teves. So we've got Asara B'Teves. Those are the four fasts connected to the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, so 1.5 years of siege, which lasted, literally was a solid siege for 1.5 years, with a short gap. A short gap in the middle where Egypt decided we're going to go and knock these Babylonians out of the way. Why are they taking our area? So they went, and when Nebuchadnezzar realized that he was going to become under attack from Egypt, He told the people in Yerushalayim, you're not going to go anywhere. I can leave you here on your own. Just stay in your own city. I'll be back. Don't worry. And he set off towards Egypt. And when Egypt realized how big Nebuchadnezzar was, they decided, we got you mixed up with somebody else. Sorry, we're not interfering anymore. We're going back home. And they went back home to Egypt, and Nebuchadnezzar was left in charge. And later on, the Yidden who had escaped the Churban actually went off down to Egypt under Yirmiyahu later on, right after Gedaliah was killed. And only many years later did Nebuchadnezzar actually come and destroy Egypt. Now, back to the subject here and the Haftorah. Look at the Psukim, Perek Lamed Daled, Posuk Ches of Yirmiyahu. This was a message that came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem. Acharei kros hamelech tzidkio bris. Tzidkio hamelech made a bris es kol ha'omer shem Yerushalayim yekro lahem derer. A bris was a public ceremony. And you like the bris men of Sodom, you take an animal, you cut it, keshech the animal, cut it up, and people walk through the middle. In the same way as this is one, however separate it is now, it comes from one unit. So therefore, however different we may be, we make ourselves into a unit, we work together. That's the symbolism of a bris, as we have it. Yep. So, what happened was that lekro lahem deror. Deror means that you become free. So many people were enslaved. He made a bris. Please free all your slaves. So this bris took place in the 7th year of Tzidkiyahu. And he felt this was not good. That so many Jewish people were slaves because they were so poor. They had no, literally, the land was, it was a terrible time for the land. And therefore they sold themselves to whoever they could, anybody who would buy them. And they should stay slaves for 6 years, but unfortunately, people kept them on and kept them on. And so he said, yo, the Melech made a rule, everybody's got to let their slaves go free. Everybody. Right? An amnesty for everyone. The Midrash brings that in Bovel already, who said that large numbers of people were in Bovel. Who was in Eretz Yisrael still? Dalas Ha'oretz, the poorest of the people were the ones who were left there by Nebuchadnezzar. When he took Yechonia and so many other people, he left the poor people, not the rich people. So therefore they had a very bad time, they didn't have any money. So, the people ask Yechezkel, in Bovel already, about not an Eved Ivri, an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani who is sold, he belongs to a Kohen. An Eved Kanani belongs to a Kohen, he can eat truma. Wonderful, he can eat truma, that's all he can have. But if a Kohen sells him to somebody else, can he still eat truma? He was eating truma before, can he still eat truma? Obviously not. In the same way, they said to Yechezkel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sold us. He sold us to the custom, to the Bnei Bovel. We're sold into slavery here in Babylon. Why do we have to keep the Torah anymore? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sold us, then we're free from our original rules and we can now live lives as Goyim. That was the way they asked Yechezkel. Do we still have to have any connection to the Torah anymore? And Yechezkel told them, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you are still my nation and nothing will change. Just because you're here in Golus, yeah, but you're still going to be my nation. No. That was Yechezkel in Bovel. Yeah. Just at the same time. That the idea being that slaves who are sold, there's the idea they're trying to connect themselves and say, we've been sold into slavery here, we don't belong to Hashem anymore, we're now slaves in Babel, therefore why do we have to keep the Torah? And Yechezkel told them they still have to do so. Anyway, back in Eretz Yisrael, Tzidkiyahu took the idea that he ought to free make all the slaves go free. So says the Pasuk, L'shalach ishes avdo b'ishes shufasa ho ivri bo ivriya chofshim. Everybody should let his Jewish slaves go free. Levilti avod bombi hudi ochiu ish. Then nobody should make a Jewish person work for him. It says Yehudi. Interesting word, Yehudi. We know it from Megillas Esther, Ish Yehudi. About Mordechai was an Ish Yehudi. Right? So different explanations of the word, but one of them Mefarshim, the Abarbanel says that Yehudi means an Ish Yehuda. Most of the people in Eretz Yisrael were from the tribe of Yehuda. They were from Binyamin, and there were a few from all the other tribes who'd come back, who hadn't gone off into slavery and hadn't gone off with the 10 tribes earlier on. But the vast majority of people were the Yehudim. So, Abarbanel says, is that we're all family here. You're on the same Shevet. How can you make somebody who is a member of your family into being a slave for you? Right? We have to regard everybody with our family. We don't make them into slaves. We don't keep them as slaves. Right? The Malbim says there's two things here. First of all, Tidkio is saying free every slave, even if he hasn't worked 6 years. Free him straight away. And secondly, no longer enslave anybody. Right? Whatever the situation is, don't take anybody into slavery. Give them a job, give them stock or anything you can do. Whatever you can do to help them. But to make somebody into a slave because he's so desperate, he comes to you and says, please buy me as a slave. I'll work for you. I don't mind. But you don't take him in as a slave. That's what the idea was. Not to do that anymore. Right. So the next pasuk says, all the people, all the princes, all the people who enter this bris, they agreed to send all their male servants and their female servants going free. And as far as I can see, this is not talking about people who are sold by Beis Din or little girls sold by their father, which is a din in the Torah. It's about people, men and women, who themselves came along and said, please, take me as your slave. I'll work for you, but just simply support me. That's what they asked. And so Sirkio said, don't do that anymore. Send them free. Levilti avod bom. Oh, don't make them work any longer. Vayishma'u. And the people obeyed vayishalechu. So literally, Sirkio tells them to do a lovely mitzvah, and they all agreed, and they all did it straight away. That would be the end of the Haftorah now, except for the fact that the next pasuk, vayoshuvu achreichein. Then they changed their minds. Having done this wonderful mitzvah, they went back on it. And they brought them back. Having seen, you know, set the man free, and then think the next day, hey, wait a minute, where's my breakfast? So, that's it. So went out, hey, you, come back in. And here it's not a question of, I will buy you again. It's a question of, you are my slave, get back there and get back to work. That's exactly, they broke the rule, they made their own rule. It says, Vayichbashum la'avodim v'leshvachos. And they forced them. Kovesh, like conquering. They conquered them. The Mepharshim, I can't remember who says this. I think the Midrash brings, Vayichbashum is a kriyoch siv. Can you see a little yud in the word? There's a word there. Well, it's not pronounced. It's not Vayichbashum. It's just a yud there. Vayichbashum. And they conquered them. What's that yud? The Midrash says on that particular yud there, in the word, that the yud represents the day on which this took place. Yud, the 10th of Tishrei, on Yom Kippur. That's the one day the Midrash says that they'd taken them back into slavery again, on Yom Kippur itself. And not only that, but it takes the word Vayich Bashum and splits it up, the Midrash says, into two words, Vayach and Bishum, with a yud there. Vayach is, and they hit, and Bishum, and they embarrassed them. They took these people who were enjoying their new found freedom and went and hit them physically and embarrassed them and forced them to come back to the jobs they were in before, because the people who owned them did not want to give them up. That's the idea of the pasuk. And the word of Hashem came to Yirmiyahu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why precisely it says that? The Mepharshim says is the repetition of pasuk ches. It's nothing new. It's the idea that put in pasuk ches was being was repeated here because of how it continues. Anyway, why the pasuk repeats Me'es Hashem? Obviously there is a reason, but I haven't seen it in the Mepharshim offhand why the pasuk repeats the word of Hashem came from Hashem. All right. Anyway, the pasuk says that Ko'amar Hashem l'Kisra. Hashem sent a message to Yirmiyahu that he says, Anochi korati bris avoseichem. I made a bris. You're making a bris now. Hashem says, I made a bris all those years ago with Klal Yisrael b'Yemetzia Som Eretz Mitzrayim, when I brought them out of Mitzrayim based on Odim Leimer. I made a rule. I made a bris with Klal Yisrael, saying, Miketz Sheva Shonim, at the end of 7 years, Teshalachu, you shall. Seven, it says seven. You're not correcting Yirmiyahu. Right, and Forsham asked the question about six.
Alright, okay.
Right? They give answers on it. Miketz Sheva Shonim, at the end of 7 years, Teshalachu. Just the grammar of the word Teshalachu. Difference between Shin Lamad Ches in the Kal is to send. There's no dogish in the Lamad. When there's no dogish in the Lamad, it's to send. When there is a dogish in the Lamad, Teshalachu B'Shalach. Yes, l'shalach, l'shaleach, that is in the PL, and the meaning is not to send, but to let go, to release, to dismiss. That's the difference between the two. What is exactly is that if I send a letter to Australia, then it is going every stage of the way because it is a shaliach. It is being sent by me. I have set a process in motion. It's like a conveyor belt. Put something on one end of the conveyor belt. It will carry on and on and on and on till it gets to the other end. That is a shlichus. It's an agency. I'm sending it to go somewhere to do something. Whereas le shaliach is merely to let go. Get out. All I say, push you out. Once I've pushed you out, you've gone. You're totally in your own control. You're not doing it because I said so. Once you've gone, I've got no control anymore. So here, l'shaleach, the word l'shaleach is that these people who are your slaves, let go of them. Give them their freedom so that the moment you have let go, they can do exactly what they want. They can run their own lives. They don't have you telling them what to do. Says t'shalachu ish ha'zolchi v'ivri, send away everybody. This is what the Torah says, asher yimocher lecho, if he's been sold to you, v'avodecho sheishonim, he serves you for 6 years, v'shilachto chofshim me'emach, and then let him go free. V'lo shomu avosechem elai, but unfortunately, you didn't listen to me. This is years ago, Hashem says. Your fathers didn't listen to me. V'lo hitu asostam, didn't pay attention in any way. So this was the rule. Now, you asked about the 7 years. He says the Gemara, the Gemara in Arachin Daf Lamed Gimel says that the pasuk refers to a nirtzah, somebody who has already finished their 6 years but wanted to stay. So they have ritzia, have the ears pierced, and then. Wait a minute. It's the Gemara says it. Okay, you don't like what Yirmiyahu says, you know the Gemara either. What did the Gemara say? So the Gemara says that so though the man now goes into slavery back again because he volunteered, and at the end of the year comes Yovel. So in other words, let us imagine that's the Matthias, the Gemara is saying. So he did his 6 years, then he chose himself to stay a slave, so he carries on, and the next year comes along, happens to be Yovel. Right? Ritzia wouldn't work in the Yovel itself. In other words, his 6 years come to an end, then literally, what's the point of having his ear pierced? The split second he becomes a slave, he's free. There's no point in doing it. So there was only a point in doing it if it's not Yovel. When's a possibility? So a person could be an Eved Ivri. Let's imagine he was an Eved Ivri who was sold on the 29th of Elul. Imagine he was sold on the 29th of Elul 1 year. He works for 6 whole years, and when the 29th of Elul comes, 6 years' time, 29th of Elul, what happens? He goes free. But I want to be a slave. Okay, you can be a slave today. So he gets his ear pierced. Then he stays a slave, l'olam, till the Yovel comes along. Let's imagine Yovel's that night. Rosh Hashanah starts, that's the Yovel. So in other words, that's his 7th year. He's had 6 years there. He's had 1 day of the 7th year, and now he goes. And now he goes free because he's a nirtzah. He gets to the Yovel years. You understand? That's where 7 years. So it said Miketz is at the end because that is the end of the 7th year. That is the 7th year. Think of it in English. If this was the 7th year, right? In 2019, you'll be till December the 31st. Let's imagine that, as far as we're concerned, something happens on the 30th of December. So then, till the end of the year, this is the 7th year. The end of the year, then the 7th year is over. So that's what the Gemara says. Yep. the Malbim says they didn't listen to the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im told them what to do, and they wouldn't do it. Problem that happened many, many times in Jewish history. All right? Tzidkio himself was worried, the Malbim says. Right? The people, the poor people made themselves slaves. Why did they make themselves slaves? Because they were so poor, they owed money. They had to have some money, so they became slaves, to have some money to be able to pay all their debts back. Tzidkio was worried that when he sees that the Babylonians are going to come, he knows they're going to come, they're going to invade, they're going to besiege, and the moment they come, the first people who are going to surrender to the Babylonians are the Avodim. They've got nothing to live for here. At least going, being taken into captivity, you can have a better life in Bovel than you can here, working yourself sick with people in Yerushalayim. So that's what Tzidkio was worried about. They'd rebel or they would defect to the custom. So he made a bris that everybody should be free. Now they were free. It was a political thing. Political reasons. Let's free all the slaves in order they would feel free men. They wouldn't have a tiver to go and join the Babylonians. That was the reason why he did it. Yeah? And later on, when the time I told you that Nebuchadnezzar went away to go to Egypt, because he felt the Egyptians were coming towards him, then they saw the siege was over. They said, right, that's it. There's no siege anymore. Come back to work. That's what happened. Right, the Pesukim carry on. You came back, the you people, you've come back exactly the same as you started off good. You started off by doing the right thing, to free each other. And then you made a bris, kores bris is to make, not to tear up. You cut a bris before me. In the Beis Hamikdash where my name is called upon. HaKadosh Baruch says, I make a kiddush Hashem. And what did you do the next day? And then you go and make a chilal Hashem. You made a kiddush Hashem to free them, and then you make a chilal Hashem. And each person takes his slave back again. You sent them free. Lenafshom is to have their own lives, to be able to. When a person is an eved, his nefesh has got no freedom. He can't have any ruchnias. He's got to do his work the whole of the time. The master's telling him what to do, like the slaves in Mitzrayim. It's not just a question of physical work. It's when have you got time to think of anything higher than work? Well, does a slave automatically have time to sit and learn? Has he got time to go to a shir? Of course not. He's too busy working. So lenafshom, to send a slave free, gives him a nefesh again. Yes, shabbas vayinofash. The word vayinofash is to be given one's nefesh, to be given one's ability to concentrate on ruchnias in life. So this is what you gave them, but you took them back now, you gave them their freedom, you took them back, you reconquered them, leos lochem, to be for you, lavodim lishvochas. Lochem. So Hashem says, "Come, Hashem, atem lo shmatem elai. You didn't listen to me," says Hashem. Likra duror ish lochiv ish l'reihu, to give freedom to one another. Hinei kori lochem duror. I'll show you what duror is, says Hashem. I'll show you what freedom is, no, Hashem. El acherev, el adevev, el orov. I'll tell you freedom. I'll send the sword and let the sword go free in your country. I'll send pestilence free and killing people. It'll be free. Ro'ov, famine, that'll be free. Everybody can starve, says Hashem. There's a lotion of, you want freedom, I'll give you freedom. Next word, the word l'za'avo is a word for you'll be a horror. It's all the kingdoms of the earth. In other words, when they hear what's happening to you, they will see what's happened to Klal Yisrael, and they'll see, they'll shiver when people realize what happened to Klal Yisrael, when the goyim stop and think about it. So then, I put the people that who've gone against my bris, didn't keep it, they made a bris, they didn't keep it. This calf here, they cut it into two, as I explained before, they walked down the middle, and what have they done? They've then neglected the bris. Sorry, Yehuda, sorry, Yerushalayim, Hasorisim, the officers, all the people, everybody went through. They all joined in what Tzidkio had said, but then they went against them. And the king came back and retook them into slavery. So what's Hashem going to do? I'll give them to their enemies. The people, they didn't give nefesh. They didn't give souls to people. So then I will take away the tender people who want your souls will take your souls away from yourself. And I'll make your lives. You'll be killed. You'll be lying there for the animals to eat. That's how Yirmiyahu brings the message from Hashem to Klal Yisrael for the way you behave towards other people. So that's how I'll treat you, says Hashem. And what about Tzidkiyahu and his princes? I'll give them to their enemies. And I'll give them to Bovel, who have Olim. They've come up. They've gone away. They went away to Egypt, but they're going to come back. Says Hashem, they will come back. Don't think you've escaped. And Hinani Metzave Num Hashem, says Hashem, I will give a command. I'll bring them back to Yerushalayim. Nilchamu Aleo, they'll fight against it. L'choduha, they'll capture it. Srafub Eish. They'll burn it on fire, set it on fire. It's Ori Yehuda. And what about the rest of the cities of Yehuda? Etain Shemoma Mein Yoshev. They'll be desolate and nobody will live there. It's a terrible, terrible klala that we're being told that what's happened and it all came true. Unfortunately, Baruch Hashem, we are still here. And then because, what? Why Tzidkiyahu? Tzidkiyahu failed to protest. That's the point. He made the bris. He got everybody involved in it. But when the people then went and got their slaves back, Tzidkiyahu gave up protesting. And Tzidkiyahu is blamed. Even though he had such a wonderful idea to start with, it was a good idea for whatever reason, it was a good idea. And yet, unfortunately, when it went wrong, Tzidkiyahu the king should have stepped in and said, no, send the people free again, don't capture them. And he didn't do so. The Haftarah ends with two more psukim that come from previous perek. Previous perek, you've got Pasuk Chof Hei, Lamed Gil Pasuk Chof Hei, famous, very famous Pasuk, Ko Amar Hashem. In Lo Verisi, we go back to the subject of Baris. If it wouldn't be for Hashem's Baris, Yomon Volaylo, which he made day and night, Chukos Shomayim Va'aretz Lo Somti, I would not put all the rules of Shomayim Va'aretz, I wouldn't put them into place. Says the Gemara in Psachim, that without Torah, the Torah gives a bris of the Torah in Kisavo. Without Torah the world won't endure at all. And the Gemara says in the Dorim, the bris also refers to Mila. Without bris Mila, Hashem would not have created the world. The world exists in the zechus of the bris made with the mitzvah of Mila. So, and we're also told Yomun V'Layla. What's this Yomun V'Layla? The world is round. This earth turns round, the sun goes round as far as we're concerned, it goes round us, or we go round from the sun, it doesn't matter. But the point is that if it's 10 to 10 here, it's going to be 10 to 10 in Paris, it's going to be 10 to 5 in New York, it's going to be 10 to 2 in Los Angeles. There's always somewhere in the world where it's night, and there's always somewhere in the world where it's day. Let's imagine that we can learn in the daytime easily, and a bit of the night time, we sleep a bit of the night time. It means that the world is in such a way that Klal Yisrael, wherever we are, we'll be able to learn Torah. You can have a rota of Torah being learned round the world for 24 hours a day. Because there's always somewhere where it's a time when you're able to learn. If the whole world was exactly the same, then it would be nighttime. Let's imagine that if the whole world was exactly the same, how many people in Manchester are there who are learning Torah every morning between 2 and 4 in the morning? Not that many. Not that many. But see, the world is in such a way that there's always people learning Torah right round the globe. So that's the idea of Shomayim Va'aretz being in different times. And the last pasuk says, Gamzera Yaakov, also the Hashem says, I'm going to reject, Emas it says, V'dovid Avdi Emas, I'll reject the children of Yaakov Avinu, and I'll reject David, my servant, Mikachas Mizaro Moshlim, and I won't make any rulers from Yaakov and David, El Zer Avrom Yitzchok VeYaakov, to be over Klal Yisrael, the children of Avrom, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Yoshives Shrusom, when I bring back, until I bring back their captivity, Virachamtim, and I have mercy on them. So it's telling you that until we go back, we will not have Jewish kings. We're not yet, Moshiach isn't here yet. When Moshiach comes, a Jewish king means from Yaakov and from David. I ask you a question. You've got to be descended from Yaakov and David. Everybody descended, any king descended from David, automatically descended from Yaakov.
Yeah.
So the point is that from Yaakov means they're Jewish. Let's imagine that somebody who himself is Ben Acha, Ben Acha, Ben Acha, Ben from David HaMelech. And he marries a non-Jewish lady. So his son is also Ben Acha, Ben from David HaMelech. But he's not Zera Yaakov. He's not Jewish. So in other words, you can be from David, you can be from Yaakov. But Zera Yaakov doesn't mean a physical descendant. It means a member of Klal Yisrael. So the Melech HaMoshiach will be somebody who is 100% Jewish, and Ben Acha Ben from David HaMelech, in Yetz Hashem.